Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. And sometimes you sit back and you look at what God has going on, and sometimes you realize that you have no clue what that is. Amen? Today has been a really, really interesting day. I consider it one gigantic object lesson. Okay? And let me tell you why. Because, how many of you all understand Murphy's Law? Maybe some of the younger ones don't quite get that, but most of you in here understand Mr. Murphy and his law. Now, Mr. Murphy and his law says this: if it can go wrong, it will. And ironically enough, I still believe with all my heart that God is doing things in hearts and lives to make sure that we rely on Him in every aspect of everything that we do. Now, as we think about this, you know, even last night, you know, got a call late. You know, we had a pipe that has given up the ghost in the other building, and of course our nursery and elementary wing is flooded, and about half the offices. We come in this morning, and of course, I mean, if it can go wrong, it will. You feeling me today? Now, get this. Now, I want you to do something else real quick. I want you to look at your hymnal once again at page 18. Okay? Turn to page 18. Okay? What does that say? Come thou fount of every blessing. Now, I want you to back up one page to 15. What's that one say? They're just two different versions. Yeah, and if you look like I did, you was reading a lot why things were going on up here, why it was taking place. I tell you, today, Mr. Murphy has arrived, right? Now, here's what we need to understand. God is still on the throne, and Satan doesn't want us to worship Him today in either way, shape, form, or fashion. But we're not going to let Him win today, are we? We're just not going to let that happen. Because the Word of God does not return void. We're going to be looking at some passages this morning that come out of Joshua chapter 7. Now, like I said, this is one big, huge illustration as to where I'm going to go. So maybe that's the reason why the Lord did it today. He knows everything that's going to happen. He knows everything that's going to take place. He knows everything, shape, form, or fashion, that's going to happen in our lives. And most of us are familiar with the story of Egypt, or when Israel left Egypt, they journeyed, they had to roam in the wilderness. It finally came time for them to cross over into the promised land. Yeah, after they crossed over into the promised land, there was an order that was given to them. Now, you have to remember, God told them this. He told Israel this. He said, I'm not just going to make every enemy lay down in front of you. You are going to have to go to battle. You are going to have to take this land. The land I've given you, you're going to have to take it, but here's what you need to understand. As you go to battle to take that land, I am going to be victorious through you. Yeah, see, remember, that's been their fear the whole time. Even when they were at Kadesh Barnea, their big fear was there's giants in the land. They'll just wipe us out. They'll annihilate. They were looking at the enemy more so than the God that they were serving. So they had to roam in the wilderness for 40 years. Finally, they've come into the promised land. God's like, I'm giving you another chance now. Here's something you're going to have to do. You're going to have to go down to this place called Jericho. And you're going to have to take Jericho. Well, Jericho had a reputation, didn't it? It had high walls. It was fortified. And they're like, well, how are we going to do this? I mean, you know, we can't do this. And right there's the beginning of a very good thought in your life and in my life is you're absolutely right. We cannot do this, but God can. God gets the credit and the glory when there are things that are impossible to mankind. Now, again, we know that story. We know how God said, this is what's going to happen. Here's how you're going to take Jericho. And it sounded like the most incredibly, I can't even think of a term, really. It was just not exactly what you would call a battle plan if you were planning a battle to go in and take Jericho. Remember, it's go down and march around the wall. Everybody be real quiet now. Y'all just march around that wall and you're done for the day. And they did that up until the final day, and they were supposed to march around it 7 times. And they were to blow the trumpets. Then what? Well, according to the Word of God, the walls fell down, and they just went right in, took it over. Now, at that point, listen, when God does some incredibly victorious things in our lives, don't we have some confidence? We're like, wow, hey, look at what God did. And we'll even say, God is good. And all the time, yeah, buddy, we're laughing and rejoicing, and our hearts are filled with joy. We have just taken a great, great foe. I mean, look at what God did. We're on a roll now. So then the next stop is they go to this place called Ai. Ai is nothing compared to Jericho. I mean, yeah, Ai is a little speck on the map. It's not what would be considered heavily fortified. If you remember, they went down, they looked at it, and they're like, yeah, Israel's thinking, hey, the report that came back is we can take them. We don't even need to send our whole military in there to take this place over. It's just a small bump in the road. That's all that's going to be. We're going to take them. We're going to run through this and everything else. Now, you remember what happened? They went in to Ai and got themselves whipped. And they were astonished. You see, it was the little thing that took them out. Wasn't the big thing. It was the little thing that all of a sudden they're wondering, what has happened? What has taken place? Why did we get overtaken by this tiny little place that we should have easily handled? And they're confused. You ever been confused in your walk with the Lord? Now let me rephrase that. Have you ever been confused about what God is doing along the way in your life? See, there's a big difference between those two. And they couldn't understand what had happened. Well, now, if you're familiar with the story, and as you've read on, it gets real interesting because God also gave Israel some orders back at Jericho. Remember, Jericho was a fine place. It had lots. It had money. It had people. And when Israel took over Jericho, it was nothing unusual. Matter of fact, it was common practice that the soldiers would plunder. You know what that is, right? The old pirate term. Yeah, hey, all the people are gone. They're left. Hey, there's things here that we could use. Yeah. Hey, there's money. There's cattle. There's all these things. It was not uncommon for the victorious army to go in and enjoy the spoils of their victory. But God told Israel this: you're not going to do that at Jericho. Everything at Jericho is cursed. You don't touch it, don't take it, you leave it. Those are my orders. Okay, that sounds good, you know, and of course everybody is thinking that everybody followed directions. Wow. How many of you all think that everybody always follows the directions, whatever happens? I don't see a single hand up today, because you're absolutely right. In fact, most of us are probably saying, why is it that people today in our society can't follow the simplest of directions? And yet, here's the thing. Nobody knew that there had been a heinous violation against God's orders back in Jericho. They all thought everything was right in their relationship with God. They thought everything was right. And they looked at Ai and they're like, hey man, we've crested the big hill of Jericho. Ai is nothing. And they go down and get whipped and they cannot understand why. So their leader goes before God and says, and I'm paraphrasing here, so y'all bear with me, this is not King James, this is Roy Carter, okay? He goes to God and says, Lord, why? What happened? What has taken place? God says, The directions back at Jericho were not followed. Listen, nobody even knew about that except for the one that was the guilty party. In fact, at that particular point, they get direction from God. Okay, we're going to find out who it is that messed this up. Now, once again, most of us know this story. It wasn't the whole of Israel in and of themselves. It was how many people? One. That's another sermon for another day, but let me just go ahead and give you the preview of what that sermon would be. One person can create issues in the family of God when it comes down to following God's rule and following God's order. One person. In fact, the rest didn't even know. Well, there were a few, but for the most part, those that were in the know were really just maybe family. Yeah, that goes with family. So what they do is they come up with, how are we going to find out who this is? They do their thing based on how God's led them. And like I said, I'm just trying to catch you up in the simplest way to get to the scripture that we're going to look at today. So we get to this particular point where the guilty party makes a confession. Okay? Now, they've already been going through, essentially, they're going through all of Israel. Remember, how many people are we talking about here? Are we talking about 15, 20, 500, 5,000, 50,000? No, millions of people. And can you imagine what that was? What it would have been like being the guilty party and knowing that there's this search on and you're over there going. So finally, it comes time for some confession. That's where I want us to pick it up today. Joshua chapter 7, we're going to be looking beginning at verse 20. Joshua chapter 7, beginning with verse 20. It says, "And Achan answered Joshua." There's a hint. Who's the guilty party? Achan. Verse 20, "And Achan answered Joshua and said, 'Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and this is what I have done.'" Here's confession. Verse 21. "When I saw among the spoils a beautiful Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them. And there they are, hidden in the earth, in the midst of my tent, with the silver under it. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran to the tent. And there it was, hidden in his tent with the silver under it." Verse 23, "And they took them from the midst of the tent and brought them to Joshua and all the children of Israel and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, the silver, the garment, the wedge of gold, his sons, his daughters, his oxen, his donkeys, his sheep, his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them to the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, 'Why have you troubled us? The Lord will trouble you this day.' So all Israel stoned him with stones, and they burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones, still there to this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Therefore, the name of that place has been called the Valley of Achor to this day." Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you today, as we search for you, we know that we will find you here in this place. Lord, today may we learn lessons from Achan. May we learn lessons from your word today, that you are in charge. And Father, there is none like you. And when you give us specifics when it comes down to orders, you expect us to obey them. For God, you are always watching. Help us, Lord, during this time to hear from the Holy Spirit, because we know the Holy Spirit is in this place. And Father, I pray that as your messenger for these moments, you truly would be lifted up and that you might have that opportunity to draw all men unto you. As Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we look at these passages, the confession takes place. We find out that Achan is the guilty party. Remember the instructions that were given when they were in Jericho. You are not to partake of the spoils. And then when the confession takes place, He even says what he does. Verse 21, he lays out exactly what he's done. He says, and when I saw among the spoils, remember, you're not supposed to be partaking of the spoils. The Lord has essentially cursed them. You're not supposed to pick them up. You are not supposed to bring sin into the camp. Leave them alone. But yet Achan had the same problem that many of us have. We will see something, and you know what Satan says? Satan goes, don't that look good? Don't that look delicious? When you're on that diet, doesn't food always look better? And then when you finally get a taste of it, have you ever noticed that it seems like that piece of cake tasted better than it ever had? Or maybe you had a Little Debbie Swiss cake roll. How many of y'all like them? Boy, those are the bomb diggity, aren't they? But let me tell you something. All of a sudden, that Swiss cake roll that you shouldn't have had seemed to have tasted better than it's ever tasted before. You're like, did Little Debbie change the recipe because they got it right? Am I right? Isn't that what sin does to us? It entices us. It tempts us. So yeah, here's the thing. Achan knew exactly what the command of God was. Don't touch this stuff. But then he finds himself surrounded by it. Are we not surrounded by sin in our society today? Does Satan not provide a way to stick temptation in your face every single day? And then he goes on, and he even lists what it was in verse 21. He says, when I saw among the spoils a beautiful Babylonian garment. Maybe Achan had a little fashion sense about him. He's like, check that out. That's a good-looking garment. Now, this is what he's seeing. It says 200 shekels of silver. He's probably sitting there thinking, I ain't made that kind of money in a long time. And then it says 200 shekels of silver. This is all in verse 21. And a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels. Then it comes to the heart of the problem. He said, when I saw all those things, I coveted them. You know what that means? It got his attention. He wanted them. Did he just completely forget what God said? No. Did he completely forget what he was supposed to do in leaving those things alone? No, he didn't forget it. He knew it. Just like you and I today know when we are walking outside of the will of God. We know because the Holy Spirit is convicting our hearts. Let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit's convicting power is still heavy among us. The question is, have we hardened our hearts so much that we don't even feel it anymore? That we don't even see it anymore? Or do we just not care anymore? I'm just going to do whatever I want to. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we may die. That's kind of what society got to in the days of Noah, according to the Word of God, and that's the direction society is headed today. He says, I coveted them, and I took them. I got them. He didn't think anybody knew. See, everybody knew what the rules were. Everybody knew what supposedly was taking place. Everybody knew what God had said. In fact, Achan wasn't sitting there just bringing them out in a wheelbarrow. What do you think he did? He was kind of tucking them away in some cloak or garment because he knew what he was doing was wrong. Now, I'm not asking for a show of hands on this, but how many times have we known that we have been outside of God's will and God's way? We know that we've been doing wrong, but we don't want anybody else to know. We're just a bunch of sneaky Petes. Oh, by the way, it happens every Sunday. It's happening right now. We came in here today with something that we're wrestling with the Holy Spirit with, and we smile and wave, hey, hallelujah, praise God, I'm here today. And by the way, that's okay. Your battle's not with mankind. You're sitting there battling God. And let me give you something. If you hadn't figured this out yet, here's something I want you to understand. You will lose. It is your will against God's, and you will lose. Plain and simple. We see this. Matter of fact, Achan didn't come forward, you know, when they said what the problem was.
Yeah, he didn't confess at that point. You know, here's the way we say it in today's society. Was Achan sorry for what he did, or was he sorry he got caught? Kind of a little bit of a difference there, isn't it? Yeah, he didn't come forth when he heard what was going on, and when he had a chance and an opportunity to go to, you know, the leadership in private and say, "Look, man, that was me that did this." You know, no. They let him go through this whole thing to point it out, and God revealed who it was. And it was at that point that Achan said, "Okay, you caught me. This is what I did. This is where it is. These are the things I saw. I coveted those things, so I took them. And I took them to my tent, and I hid them in the earth." It even listed out, he says, with the silver under it. He even told what order it was buried in. Well, just like any good criminal law case, let's check the evidence out. They went to his tent, they dug it up, and sure enough, exactly what he said was right there. Now, there's some other things I want you to see about that particular passage. Remember what he said? He said, yeah, there was some silver, there was a robe, there was some silver, there was a wedge of gold. I coveted them, I took it. I want you to look at verse 22. Verse 22 says, "So Joshua," their leader, "sent messengers, and they ran to the tent, and there it was, hidden in his tent with the silver under it." Okay, we knew the order of what he said that he took. Now look at verse 23. It says, "And they took them from the midst of the tent and brought them to Joshua and the children of Israel and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him." Now get this. Here's where I want you to start understanding something. "Then Joshua," verse 24, "and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, the silver, the garment, the wedge of gold." That's what he listed, wasn't it? But that verse doesn't stop there. It goes on and says, "His sons, his daughters, his oxen, his donkeys, his sheep, his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them to the valley of Achor." Now, not only is Achan in a circumstance or a situation where he is going to lose what he got, lose what he coveted, lose what he stole, lose what he violated God's order for, now everything he is and everything he has is being called onto the carpet, isn't it? I was like, wait a minute. What are you bringing my family out here for? What are you rounding up my livestock for? Why? What's going on? I mean, I get it. I did something wrong. I know that I'm going to get punished, but here's the stuff back. If I return it and make restitution, isn't that good enough? And you know, in this particular case, God said no. He says, "You bring me that robe. You bring me that gold. You bring me that silver. Oh, and by the way, grab the kids. Grab the family. Round up all of his livestock." See, that was his wealth. See, I mean, if you had livestock then, you were wealthy. Bring everything he has down front. Well, that's a pretty heavy cost to pay, isn't it? Because as we read on, Joshua confronts, as he should, he confronts Achan's sin. And he says in verse 25, Joshua said, "Why have you troubled us?" You know what? That's really short for saying, why is it that because of your action, see, because of your action, you have brought trouble to us. Not just you. You have brought trouble to this whole camp. Millions of people. The Israel. God's chosen people. There were people, somewhere in the neighborhood of 30, maybe 30 plus, that lost their lives in that battle at Ai. They didn't think that was going to happen. Man, they just took Jericho, no problem. They went out there. 30 people plus died because what Achan did. Let me point it out to you this way, folks. You don't suffer among yourself when you are disobedient to a holy God. The whole family suffers. The family of God suffers. There are people in your life that will suffer for your bad decisions or your mistakes when it comes down to violating what it is that God has put out there for you.
I still remember at a time talking to a fellow when I was with the police department who was going to commit suicide. And he says, "I'm not hurting anybody but me." And I said, "You're wrong. You are wrong." I said, "Because if you look right outside there, you have a mother who loves you. And for you to do what you're going to do is an incredible act of selfishness." He says, "Well, I love my mother." I said, "Well, you're sure not acting like it." I said, "Because think of the pain that you're going to put her through." I said, "There are people here who care about you." I said, "If I didn't care about you, I wouldn't be standing here in your presence right now." I said, "I know that life seems rough right now, but you are not an island to yourself. Your actions and the things that you do affect all the people around you." How many times have we said it before? When we celebrate together. When we laugh together. But when we cry together. And when one of us is hurting, we all hurt. What is it the Bible talks about? Members of the body. Remember what he said? He said, not every part of the body is a hand. You know, could you imagine just a big blob of hands walking around? They wouldn't be walking around. They would be finger crawling around. A body's not just a complete foot. Imagine how ridiculous that would look. The body is made up of many parts, and every part of the body has a function, doesn't it? Your fingers, your toes, even that pinky toe has something to do with your balance. That little old thing hanging there on the outside of each of your feet has a purpose. And without it, you're different. But when one part of the body hurts, the rest of the parts of the body should come to its rescue. You know, if you've ever been hit in the knee, or if you've ever had, how many of y'all have ever had a knee problem? And knee hurts. Well, I mean, could people tell you had a problem? Those people would look at you and say, "Ooh, did you hurt your leg? Why did they say that?" Here's why. Because when you were walking like this. Or they could, your gait was different. Your walk was different. And therefore, it said there was something that was different about you that was perceived, something that somebody else could see was going on with you. And why is it that your gait was different? Here's why. Because your other knee was trying to take up slack for your hurt one. See, that's what the body of Christ should do. And yet, what we've done is we've gotten to be to the point in society where we will cut each other to the quick. Do people still say it that way? To the quick? We've gotten to the point where we push hurting people away. Stop it. That is not what God has in order. Now that wasn't exactly what happened there. Nobody pushed him away. Achan essentially did something that was against God that was very costly. The point that I was making there was that the decisions that we make and the things we do don't just affect us. We don't just live as an island to ourselves. They affect everyone around us. The people who know us, the people who love us, the people who don't even know what's going on in your life can be affected by the decisions that you make. 30-plus men died that day that didn't even know Achan coveted a robe, some silver, and a chunk of gold. And they lost their life that day because of his disobedience. You know, that's one of the things that we've talked about, and many people would sit back, and pastors get hammered all the time. Churches get hammered all the time. They're like, "Well, how come you won't let so-and-so join your church?" That's being judgmental. No, but when there is willful, known sin in the life of a person that is unrepented of, you don't let sin into the camp. And this is where we get this from. That's where it comes from. When somebody is living a lifestyle contrary, and by the way, you don't categorize sin when it comes down to that. You know, people would say, "Well, you let that person join?" And well, hey, listen, that's because maybe we didn't know about it. But that doesn't make it right. But you know, people have come to me and said before, you know, if somebody's out there living a homosexual lifestyle, can they join the church? No, they cannot. No. Why? Because that's willful sin, unrepented, unconfessed sin that you're allowing into the camp in the same way that Achan did that right here. Can they come? Can they attend? Absolutely. I want them here.
I want them exposed to the Word of God. I want us to love them. That's what we should be doing. See, that's where the mix-up comes. Oh, but here's the other thing. Nor should a church allow somebody that's even a heterosexual couple that is living together in sin be a part of the church as well. But see, we categorize those things. Now, understand my heart when I say, I'm talking about church membership. No, I want them here. I want them here. I want us to be able to serve. I want us to be able to minister to them. But when somebody points out and says, well, why is it that we can't do that? You're reading the passage right now. You cannot allow willful, unrepented sin into the family of God. Have we forgotten that? If we do that, it's costly. 30 people died because of that. They didn't even know what was going on. They didn't know what. Those people that woke up in the presence of God were sitting there going, what happened? What? I thought we were supposed to run through these guys. I thought we were supposed to be. What happened? Well, your boy Achan messed up. He just completely messed up. Oh, so I have to pay the price for his mess up? Yeah. Now, let's get back to the passage for just a moment. I didn't chase that rabbit around that tree too far. But it says when it got there, verse 25 says this, Joshua, their leader, says, why have you troubled us? He's speaking to Achan. The Lord will trouble you this day. So all Israel stoned him with stones. Did you understand? Are you picking up what I'm putting down? His indiscretion cost him his life as well. It cost 30-plus men that went down to attack Ai their lives. Now he is being stoned. Not only him, his family, his livestock, everything. Verse 25, and Joshua said, why have you troubled us? The Lord will trouble you this day. So all Israel stoned him with stones, and they burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. Then they raised over him a great heap of stones still there to this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Therefore, the name of that place has been called the Valley of Achor to this day. Now, here's something I want you to understand. The same God who made those decisions is the same God that you and I serve today. I want us to understand something real quick. We've tried in 2021 to make God this big loving granddaddy that you can crawl up in his lap and love on him, and that's true. But he's also a God of judgment. And he's also a God that is patient and long-suffering, but he's a God of warning. You ever had that time, you know, when you love Papa, you know, you crawl up in his lap and boy, he's got a pocket full of lollipops, them little round ones called dum-dums, you know, and Papa gives you candy and Papa smiles, and Papa takes care of you, but every now and then you get ready to do something wrong, Papa says, don't do that. Now, some of you old school people in here, how many of you all ever pushed Papa too far? And Papa was a proper name because he was going to Papa the backside, right? You getting what I'm saying? See, Papa that loved you, Papa that takes care of you, Papa who would do anything in the world for you is also the one that loves you so much that he's going to make sure you're disciplined. He's going to make sure you're not doing anything that you shouldn't be doing. And he has a way of getting your attention. Now, Papa also real good about warning you first. Don't do that. You ever hear that Holy Spirit? Don't do it. Don't do it, young champion. I've often said this before. It reminds me of the old Willy Wonka. You remember Willy Wonka would tell them kids, don't do this or don't, and they weren't listening to him. And then after a while, when they got ready to do something, Willy Wonka would be going, no, don't, stop. Remember that? It's like, you got the picture of what was taking place and what was going on. God gives us a choice. That day, God gave Achan a choice. When he saw the items, the interesting part, it says he coveted them. What are we coveting today? Are we coveting our relationship with the Lord? Are we coveting our relationship with each other as a body of believers? What is driving us today? What is that sin, that secret sin that you, that nobody else in the body knows about except God knows about it? Do not think that you're an island to yourself. Do not think that you are the only person that you are hurting. Because you're part of the family of God. And God says, all of y'all going to be hurting over this. Is He dragging you out to confession in this day? What are the things that we want us to learn from these passages? Just a couple of quick things that we've already talked about. First of all, sin cannot be hidden. You can't hide it. You might hide it from me. You might hide it from the people around you. But you're not hiding it from God. Know that. He was there. He saw it. He knows what's going on. He knows what's taking place. He knows what your heart is. Remember what it says. It says, man looks on the outer appearance, but God looks upon the heart. So sin cannot be hidden. Another thing in these passages we find is that sin will be punished by God. Sin does not enter into the kingdom of heaven. It will be punished by God. And finally, the results of our sin cannot be isolated. No, you're not just hurting you. You're hurting everybody. Not always the funnest passage to preach, is it? It isn't just about you. It's about us. There's a difference between you and us, isn't it? You is singular. Me is singular. Us is plural. And the Lord says, you are my body. What is it that you're hiding from God? Well, what is it that you think you're hiding from God today that you're not? What is the sin in your camp that needs to be dealt with this morning? I thought about that because you know what happens is things go wrong. Things have gone wrong this morning, haven't they? we got two ways to look at that. We can look at that and say, it's so-and-so's fault. We can start pointing fingers at all kinds of different things and places, but here's what I know. None of today happened by accident. What was our attitude toward it? How did we look at it? Is it frustrating? Oh, yeah. It's frustrating. That's when you're like, because literally there for a moment I thought, are we going to have anything go right this morning? We got a building full of water. We're not on the right song. Hey, by the way, y'all sounded really good. Y'all were getting it. Till we was on the wrong page. We're going to try that again. I'm serious, man. I was like, yeah. And then it was like, yeah. Come out. But this morning I smile. You know why? Because God is victorious. And we are not going to let Satan defeat us. We're not going to let him mess our attitude up. I'm not going to let sin come into the camp through me today by having a bad attitude. It's how you react to those things that happen in your life. Honestly, I've just gotten to the point where I smile and just say, you know what? Here we go. Doing our best, Lord. He's like, I know. Watch this. Watch me stir it up for you. Sometimes we're an Arnold Palmer. Y'all know what that is, right? I thought about that yesterday at this wedding. I made me an Arnold Palmer. Now, before anybody watching or anybody that doesn't know about what that is, not an alcoholic drink. That's tea and lemonade mixed, okay? So I got me that tea, and I said, ooh, they got lemonade. I'm gonna make me an Arnold Palmer. So I put that lemonade in there, and I went over, and I sat down. And when I sat down, the lemonade was on the top, and the tea was on the bottom. I thought, that's cool. Evidently, there's a different density there. So my scientific mind kicked in for just a moment because then I thought to myself, I'm not worried about what it looks like. I want to know what it's going to taste like. So I took that little swizzle stick and went and mixed it all up. Then it had a wonderful taste to it. It wasn't this one and that one. See, sometimes I think God wants to take all of what we got and mix it all up real good to bring a good taste to Him. And I still believe every ounce of it, God says, you know what, Central Baptist Church, today you're going to rely on me. Today you're going to rely on what we got. Lynn did a great job. Lynn was supposed to play the keyboard this morning. But you know what Lynn said? Lynn said, you know what, you know what? That one sounds the same whether it's plugged up or not, because you don't plug it up. Let's go over there and play it so that we could worship. Didn't get all frustrated, maybe for a moment. We all do. Because we're like, oh, what do we do now? So like I said, my eyes are bad, and I read my Bible off of this, but let me tell you this, I got a backup plan because technology lets me down a lot. I've had it up here before where I got two Bibles laid out side by side in this, and the one I'm using just disappears and the other one's still there. And I laugh. You know why? Because God's still in control. He's still telling us we need to count on Him. And worship is still worship in His presence. Sometimes I think He strips all the stuff away from us so we can just get down to where it's raw worship with Him. But today I pray that His Word spoke to you. That even in the Satan tried hard, didn't he? He tried hard because y'all were sitting there saying, I want to sing this song. This is one of my favorite ones, but I don't know what's going on that screen up there. And I will make you a promise. Tim probably didn't know what was going on that screen up there. He was probably going nuts back there, trying to push the right buttons and do the right things. You know what? Hey, guys, I love you. It ain't your fault. Satan tries everything he can to keep us from doing that. The question is, are we going to allow Satan to keep us from having a worship experience in his house today? I hope not. I know I have. But I thought, what an object lesson for just what we're talking about right here. You know, you could have let sin into camp today by getting a bad attitude. It could have stopped other people from worshiping. It could have stopped us from worshiping. I've been somewhere before, and I'll say this as a close. I'm going to ask Lynn to take her place for our invitation. You know, we were having a prayer when I was a youth pastor, and a lot of us youth pastors would get together, and we would have we would do like some citywide things, and we were having a special speaker coming in, a well-known guy, and I mean, we were praying. As youth pastors, we get together, we were praying in advance for what God was going to do through this wonderful, gigantic event, and the guy's name is Jim Burns. I don't know if you'd ever heard of him. He was supposed to be coming in. He's a fairly noted guy. And so anyway, we're praying, and I mean just in prayer as fervently as possible. And then what happened was, as I was praying, I said, Lord, I want you to bless that George Burns conference that's coming. Some of y'all still hadn't picked that up. George Burns is not Jim Burns. George Burns is the guy with the cigar and the round glasses talking about Gracie. In the midst of my prayer, I couldn't figure out why the people around me were heaving and shaking. And before I could even get through, one of my brother youth pastors put his hand on my shoulder and he says, amen, it's over, it's done. The spirit has just left. And I'm still trying to figure out what's going on. Finally, he goes, you just prayed for the George Burns conference. And it still didn't hit me. He goes, Jim is the one coming. Then it hit me. So there was a moment that went away from us. A spiritual moment. But you know what? I believe God chuckled as well because he knew our heart. But at that point on, there wasn't no sense in us going on. We did go to lunch, and we did pray again later on when we had regrouped. Folks, sometimes we just need to regroup. We need to love each other. We need to cling to one another. We can't allow sin into the camp. My question, first of all, is this. Have you trusted Jesus as your Savior? Have you given Him your life? One of the biggest things that concerns me so much is what people think salvation is today as opposed to what salvation really is. Most people tell me today that salvation is being a good person. That's not salvation. That's just being a good person. If you think that you're going to heaven because you're a good person, then I'm going to ask you today to listen to the Holy Spirit's conviction in your life and reevaluate that, because that's not what it's about. What it's about is you saying, Lord, I am a sinner. What I deserve is death and hell, and I know that. But Lord, I'm thankful for Jesus Christ, who on Calvary's cross took all the sins of the world, past, present, and future. And Lord, he was buried in that barred tomb, and on the third day he arose and conquered death. And we've seen the passages, death, where's your victory? Death, where is your sting? When we trust him and he becomes our Savior, that is salvation. It's a relationship with him. It's not knowing about him, it's knowing him. I'm asking you this morning, do you know him? Have you taken the time to humbly seek him and say, Lord, I am a sinner. And Lord, you're reaching out to me, and because you're reaching out to me, I am reaching to you. Forgive my sins and save my soul. Boy, that's part of the family right there. Are you part of the family? You know, today, maybe you and I have just taken a toe mashing. I've said so many times, what you hear out here is what the Lord usually does in my life. So I've usually been beat on before with it, before you get to hear it. Are we allowing sin into the camp? Listen, today, God says, I know it. I see. I see you. I was there. And I want you to just give it to me. I'm asking you to forgive me. Lord, forgive my sin. He will. He'll do that. Listen, I'm here. If you feel like you're confused about your walk with the Lord, listen, let me know. If you're with us online, hey, you let Dr. Cazito know, and he'll let me know. We'll get in touch with you. If you have questions about any of that, we would love to sit down with you. By the way, we're not mean tyrants. You're not called to the principal's office. We want to celebrate with you. Well, last week was a great time of celebration, wasn't it? It was a joy. Let's not let Satan destroy God's church in America. And let's start right here. May it be strong. And may we hit the speed bumps that Satan keeps throwing out there like we've got the best suspension in the world. We didn't even feel that bump, Satan. And God will bless us. You need to give something to him today. You need to trust him today. Whatever that is, as we stand, as Lynn leads us in our invitational hymn, you respond to what the Master is saying in your life. Thank you.
Amen. God is good. And all the time, God is good. I want you to get your hymnal back out just real quick, because this is, as you find that, find that, what was that page number, was that again, Leah?
The right one or the wrong one?
Oh, no, the invitation.
Yes.
307. Go ahead and turn there real quick. I'm going to tell you this real quick. Don't forget, we've got probably some adjustments we got to do. We got to figure out how we're going to get our building dried out. We got a whole bunch of things that are ahead of us for this week. But you know what? God is good. All the time. God is good. We do have services this evening. David will be doing the Bible study, adult Bible study in here. I'll have youth over in the other building, 6 o'clock. We do have our regular church conference tonight after the evening service. Tonight, Awana, there are a lot of folks who have been sick or exposed to COVID. So tonight, Lynn, are y'all going to be doing registration once again? Tony and Lynn will be here tonight at 5:30, which is a regular Awana time. But as far as regular Awana Club meeting, we're not having that tonight, just mainly because we want to make sure that our kids are protected. We've had a lot of folks that have worked in Awana that have either had or been exposed to COVID this past week, to the point where our leaders have been very, very cautious. Some of them are very sick. So, you know, we want to make sure that we're doing everything that we can to protect our kids. So we just felt like it would be better not to have Awana tonight. But there is registration. If folks didn't get a chance to register last week, Tony and Lynn will be here at 6 o'clock over in the multipurpose building to register the kids. And folks, like I say, we've got a lot of folks for the sake. Keep an eye on your prayer list. I don't want to mention names because this broadcast is also going out online. But a lot of you who have seen the emails, we do have several folks in our church right now that are battling COVID. So we want to keep them lifted in our prayers. We just watch God do some incredible things. All I can say is that, we're being sifted. The question is, how are we going to come out? Let's come out on top, will you say? Real quick, birthdays this coming week. Mike Nelson, Sunday. Monday, you got Hunter Pegg, Bonnie Ramba, got a birthday coming up. You can hug her neck. She's right over there. Melinda Whites is on Tuesday. Riley Anderson on Wednesday, and J.C. Williams on Thursday. So, be sure to let these folks know. And I think J.C. said that he'll take lunch engagements and, cash gifts, right? Like cash, gift cards, whatever. I'm giving you a hard time. Everybody knows J.C. You love him. Be sure to wish him a happy birthday this coming Thursday. And then also on Wednesday, Ernie and Marsha Wall will be celebrating an anniversary. You're probably about ready to hit double digits. It'll be about your 10th, won't it? 10th anniversary? What's that? 47. She threw that out there. So 47 years. That's almost been a half a century that she's put up with Ernie. So be sure to let her know how you're going to be praying for her and wish her a happy anniversary. Listen, here's what I want to do for our closing this evening. Is it verse 2, just as I am and waiting not? Is that verse 2? Here's what I want you to do. I want Lynn to start us. This is going to be our benediction. Lynn's going to start us as we sing this, but I want you in an attitude of prayer. Oh, yeah, I got to take the offering up. I'll do that in just a second. Let's do this real quick while you're standing. Take that verse and don't leave yet, because I forgot. I'm a Baptist. How can I forget to take the offering? Murphy's Law, right? Here's what I want. I want Lynn to get us started in that, and then I want to hear you sing a cappella that verse with verse two, just as I am and waiting not. Lynn's going to get us started, and then she's going to trail off, and I want to hear you sing verse 2. As a prayer to our Father, okay? Would you join us in an attitude of prayer, Lynn, if you'll start us?
Just as I am and waiting to rid my soul of one dark night to thee.
This time I'd ask our ushers if they would make their way down to the front. And I believe Jim and Amy are going to bless you in song as we receive the Lord's tithe and our offering to Him. Remember, there are multiple ways to give. If you are watching us online, our website, www.oakridgecbc.org, there's a giving tab there. You can give that way. If it's during the week, office hours, you can drop it by here at the church, or you can let these fine young men up here pass that offering plate. You can just drop it in as it comes around, okay? Let's look to the Lord in word of prayer for thanks for our offering. Father, you're good to us. All provision comes from you. You have blessed us in countless ways. Lord, we pray right now that you will help us to be faithful to return to you what you've asked us to, that your work may continue and that you may bless our hearts beyond anything we could ever imagine. As Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As I close in prayer this evening, I just want to remind folks, we do have a called conference next Sunday, the 26th. It'll be immediately after our morning worship service. The purpose of the called conference is to vote on Brad McClure as an interim music director. There is information. We sent it out by email, but I do have some hard copies out there in the Narthex. As you go out, you can pick that up. You will have an opportunity to see the motion that's being made by personnel, as well as on the back of that, you'll see Brad McClure's resume. You'll get a chance to look that over. Brad will be with us next week, so you'll have an opportunity to hear him and see him. I think he and Lynn have worked out service for next week. That will be a ballot vote. Again, I encourage you, if you have any questions or whatever, contact us and let us know. Try to get those answered as quickly as possible through the week. And what this is an interim position to be reevaluated in January. So you'll have a chance to hear him and see him next Sunday. That vote will be Sunday, once again, for an interim to be reevaluated in January. So pick one of those up. If you want a hard copy of that, you can get that in the Narthex on your way out. We do have a few copies, I think, over in the office area as well. If we run out, we'll make more. And this was the information that was sent out this past week by email as well as put on our social media page. Okay, let's all stand. We'll be dismissed in a word of prayer. We look forward to seeing you this evening. Father, thank you again for all that you are, Lord, for the speed bumps and sometimes the roadblocks.
Help us, Father, to make sure that our attitude is right when it comes down to being in your presence. Lord, help us to not allow Satan to create within us inner turmoil that stops us from being able to worship you. Lord, today, as we said before, it was Murphy's Law, but you know what? It was good to be in your presence. It was good to gather around your word. It was good to lift up our voice in song, and Satan can't take that away from us. So, Father, today, may it be a true blessing in your ears and in your sight. Bless us as a church. Strengthen us. Help us with all the things that we need to do, Lord, even with the building situation. Lord, do what only you can to help us honor and glorify you and to see you do some incredible things. Give us a great day, Lord. Bring us back again to be able to worship you very, very soon. Lord, even tonight as we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, folks. We'll see you tonight.